Hi, I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. I want to call your attention to a statement Paul made in his letter to the Galatian churches. In chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." In short, Paul told the Galatian churches that he was amazed that they had changed from the gospel of the grace of Christ to another gospel, which in fact is no gospel or no good news at all. Then he made an astounding statement. He said that if we, that is, if Paul and his associates, or even an angel from heaven, preached any other gospel than the gospel that he and his associates had preached to them, then that false teacher should be accursed. Accursed is a very strong word. It's the word anathema in the Greek, which means condemned to death. In this case, it's spiritual death. Or excommunicated from life. In this case, it's excommunicated from spiritual life. In plain English, Paul said, "Let the man that preaches a false gospel be condemned to hell." And his definition of a false gospel was any gospel that was different than his. Now, those are really strong words. Hear them again. "Let the man that preaches any gospel different than mine be condemned to hell." And because of these strong words, many have accused Paul of bigotry, arrogance, and excessive dogmatism. Some have accused him of being a mean-spirited man with an elitist attitude. Now, if there are many different ways to go to heaven, then Paul is wrong and should be chastised for his bold and bigoted statement, and he should offer apology to those with differing views. But if Paul is right, and there is only one Savior and only one way to heaven, then he is also right that a man who preaches a false gospel, that is, a man who leads souls astray, should perish in their place. Listen, friend, false teaching isn't just a bad thing. It's soul slaughter. And soul slaughter should rightfully deserve a heavy, heavy penalty. Let's look more closely at Paul's statement. First of all, let's review the circumstances behind the letter to the Galatian churches. Paul planted those churches in Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Lycaonia, and possibly even in Perga and Attalia during his first missionary journey sometime between 45 and 49 AD. The people who lived in Galatia were pagans and idolaters. Paul had preached the gospel of the grace of Christ to them and they had believed it. Many had been saved. Now, what is the gospel that Paul preached? Well, an example of his preaching is given in Acts chapter 13. He began in verse 16 with a narrative of God's dealing with Israel, beginning with Abraham and going through David. Then in verse 23, he declared that from David's seed, God raised up a Savior, Jesus. He continued by briefly narrating the ministry of John the Baptist and how John had identified Jesus as the Christ. Then Paul reported how the dwellers at Jerusalem had ignored the voice of their prophets and had crucified the Savior. It was Paul's great joy then to declare to the Galatians, "But God raised him up from the dead, and he was seen many days of witnesses." He went on to say, "We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again. Then he added, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that is Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. This is the same gospel that Paul preached throughout Galatia, Asia Minor, and later in Macedonia. We learn from 1 Corinthians 15 that his gospel included the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, according to the Scriptures. According to his other letters, we learn that his gospel included the doctrines both of forgiveness of sin and justification before God, and that by the grace of God upon undeserving sinners. We learn in Acts that man's only part in his own salvation is, quote, repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ, Acts 20 and verse 21. These are the words of Paul to the Ephesian elders while in Miletus. Well, Paul preached the gospel of the grace of Christ throughout the Galatian province. As a result, churches were constituted of the converts from paganism. Soon after Paul moved on to another field, Judaizers from Jerusalem moved into this same region and began leading Paul's converts to believe that they must be circumcised, in short, that they must become Jews to be saved. Paul quoted the gospel that they preached in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. To sell this error, they also convinced the Galatians that Paul was not really an apostle, that he had not been trained, licensed, ordained, or commissioned by the church at Jerusalem. Therefore, he had no authority, and that his gospel of grace alone was bogus. Obviously, when Paul learned of this heretical conspiracy, he was horrified. Reporting the problem to his home base, the church at Antioch, he and Barnabas were sent as delegates from the Antioch church to the Jerusalem church to make an appeal concerning the infiltration of these false teachers. We have a record of this conference in Acts chapter 15. It occurred in 49 AD. Without belaboring the issue, Paul and Barnabas won the debate. James and Peter agreed with Paul that circumcision is not necessary for salvation, neither is becoming a Jew. The vast majority of the congregation of the Jerusalem church agreed with the ruling as well. The Jerusalem church not only made a positive ruling, but they wrote a letter to certify the decision and sent delegates from Jerusalem to Antioch to express the ruling in person to the officers of the church in Antioch. Now, this should have settled the question once and for all, but it didn't. The Judaizers had three choices. Number one, they could have changed their doctrine and agreed to live by the ruling. But they didn't. Or they could have stood up like men, declared themselves to be at difference with the ruling, left the church of Jerusalem, and started their own church. Listen, dissidents do that today all the time. But they didn't do that either. Instead, they pretended to go along with the ruling for the time being, but after a brief reprieve, they continued their false teaching in defiance of the ruling of the Jerusalem church. As a result, Paul had to write the epistle to the churches of Galatia. He had two objectives in the writing of this epistle. First of all, he defended the exclusiveness of the gospel of the grace of Christ. Secondly, he defended his apostolic authority. Now, you have to remember something about Paul's writings. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. This isn't Paul speaking. This is the Lord speaking through Paul. Paul began his letter by saying, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul went on to tell the Galatians that men had not saved him, men had not discipled him, men had not called him to preach, men had not authorized him to develop doctrine, men had not authorized him to write scripture, God had. I call to remembrance the day of his conversion as narrated in Acts 9. The Lord said to Ananias, go thy way, for he, that is Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Later in Galatians, Paul testified that the gospel which he preached was, quote, not after man, for, he said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, if this is true, if Paul's gospel was taught him by revelation of Jesus Christ, then he is not arrogant, bigoted, dogmatic, mean-spirited, or elitist when he says that if any man teaches any other gospel than the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ, then that false teacher should be condemned to hell. Is it true? Is there only one way to heaven? One way to God? Well, Jesus said so. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, I repeat, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Peter confirmed it when he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Listen, friend, when men say, well, we're all traveling different roads, but they all lead to the same place, that's a lie of the devil. When men say, God has many different names. Some call him Jehovah, some Allah, some Buddha, and some Jesus. But in reality, he's the same God. Men worship him different, but in the end, everyone who worships him will be saved in their own way. That is a lie of the devil. When men add works to grace and say, well, I think a man needs to believe in Jesus, but he also needs to obey the golden rule, and he needs to be baptized too, and he needs to join a church too, and he needs to be a good person too, he needs to live according to Moses' law too, that is a lie of the devil. And according to Paul's letter to the Galatians, not only is that man a false teacher, but he should be condemned to hell because his false teaching is keeping others from the true gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. His false teaching is condemning those who believe him to eternity in hell. One more time, what is the true gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How is salvation obtained? Acts 20 and verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it isn't really complicated. Paul is right. The gospel of Christ is exclusive. There's no other way to God than through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven. That's the Jesus way. Any other way leads to eternal separation from God. This is Dan Dietrich, pastor, First Baptist Church, Wayland. Have a good week and God bless you.
You've been listening to Pastor Dan Dietrich from First Baptist Church in Wayland, Missouri. Friend, this broadcast is a ministry of our church, and we're trying to discern God's direction for the next year in our ministry, and that includes the question of whether we're being good stewards of time spent in preparation, preaching, and production. But in radio ministry, the only way we can gauge the value of this broadcast is if you respond. So if you've been listening and you've been helped by something you've heard, would you drop us a quick note? You can reach us one of three different ways. You can email us at info@fbcwayland.org or call us at area code 660-754-6312 or send a note through snail mail to P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri 63472. Let me repeat that one more time for you. You can email to info@fbcwayland.org or call us at area code 660-754-6312 or send a note to P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri 63472. And let me remind you that it's not quite 9 o'clock and you still have time to get ready and get to church this morning. If you don't have a church home, I invite you to visit us this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website at www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.